We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Kurt, are you with us? Yeah, we're waiting for Kurt on the other line. Hang on here for just a moment. I don't know if you can hear me or not, whether you have your mute on or not, but let's see if we're here. Yeah, we're live. Kurt, are you with us? Are you on air? And if not, I can't hear you. If you can hear me, you'll probably need to call back in again. That's interesting. And folks, hold on with us here as we're trying to get connected up with Kurt. He's in the house, and we know he's... I thought he was on the other end of the line here, but I can't hear him. I have his volume up, and he's probably muted in the conference, which means we have that happen from time to time, and there he goes off. Let's try and get him back on again. We're going to have him try and call again, and he'll join us one more time. And if that doesn't work, I'll give him an alternate number that he can come in on. So bear with us, folks. We'll be starting momentarily. Cincinnati. You with us this time, Kurt?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you this time. Third time's a charm.
I have no idea why that happens sometimes. I mean, I heard you clear as day.
Well, it happens. It happens sometimes in the conference system. I think it's a Magic Jack anomaly. But given the anomalies we've been facing in this day and age, nothing should surprise me. And after all, freedom of speech doesn't imply that the technology is always on your side. You know, sometimes they squelch us and mute us, and other times, well, the technology just gets us. But anyway, you're live, you're on air, and welcome to your show.
Thanks, Ralph. Welcome, everybody. My name is Kurt Kallenbach. I am the people, and again, welcome to this late edition. I've had quite a day just to get some of this garbage out of the way. A good friend of mine, in fact, somebody that was awake far longer than me, in fact, he's an organic farmer, invited me to go with him to run a few errands today. It only took about 12 hours to run his errands, but we did get a good view of northern and central Wisconsin today. Picked up a couple of giant tractor tires, an engine, and some cedar or some log siding. So it was quite a day. Anyway, let's get some of this other garbage out of the way before we really get rolling here, because you know what? Once you get started on this stuff, it gets pretty bad. And I'd like to get some other stuff out of the way first. That isn't good, by the way. I don't like covering the news, really, because I don't see any relevance. When you know that every single thing that's going wrong is based on, ultimately it is based on our consent, but it's based on a system that we allow to keep in place. All the news becomes irrelevant because we're the ones that we allow this stuff to happen. So let's just, a couple things came through the emails in the last week that need some mention, and most of you folks already know this stuff, but obviously the folks that you apparently are electing have decided to extend or will decide to extend the Patriot Act, but who cares, because the Patriot Act isn't constitutional by any stretch of the imagination. So, I mean, why is it that people are even talking about the Patriot Act? I'd like everybody to ask themselves the question, I mean, if something is not possible constitutionally, how can it happen? I mean, really, if something's not even possible constitutionally, how can it happen? And if it does happen, why can it happen? Maybe our premise is off. Maybe what we believe is true, in fact, is not. And see, that is the case. You see, the Constitution isn't in play. The Constitution of the Republic is not in play. The private corporate charter established 1871 is in play, and they call that their Constitution. That's the Constitution that has the 14th Amendment citizenship and the Constitution that has the 16th Amendment federal income taxes. It has all kinds of things that are negative to freedom, but you know what? Most people don't believe that, so why do I even talk about it? Anyway, the Patriot Act, the Patriot Act that extends over the 10-mile square known as the District of Columbia, the Patriot Act that extends only to United States citizens. It does not apply to anybody else. Anyway, the Patriot Act will be extended. We already know that they're going to play all kinds of games, but ultimately that is the outcome. The TSA. The TSA now can go into your son or daughter's school and decide to grope them, sexually molest them in their schools now, according to a judge's decision recently. So instead of having to go through the airport security system, private security, to be groped, you can now, let it come to you. And you know what? It will be everywhere. Folks, you got to realize that this is the Fourth Reich. This is, like Ralph said last week, it's the summer of 1938 Germany. Everything that's imaginable, all the bad stuff that's going to be happening this year, this summer, is the precursor of them just flat out declaring the dictatorship. It's been here since 1861, but they're going to actually just say, sorry folks, you know what, you've allowed it, you've chose this, and this is what's going to happen now. It's going to happen. It absolutely, hands down, is going to happen. It's going to happen this summer. Anyway, the TSA now can do whatever they want, wherever they want, and they can do it to whoever they want. Why? Because, remember, you don't have any rights. Here's something I found extremely interesting. Why is it that whenever they want something, whenever this private Bank of England-owned, City of London-controlled Vatican tool called the United States, the world's number one murder machine, why is it that whenever the United States makes a decision on some property they want, they find a bad guy there, they blame him for something, and then they go steal all the property. They murder the people in the country, and then they steal all the property or any of the assets. Well, isn't that what they're doing right now with Pakistan? What is it in Pakistan that the United States wants? You see, they now have now that they dug up a dead man and murdered him a few weeks back, for the 2nd, 10th, 15th time, now that the bad guy's gone, they had to create a new bad guy, and that bad guy is, Saif al-Adel? He's the new al-Qaeda boss. Oh, well, you know what's interesting about that? Where is this man supposedly holed up? You're getting it now. He's holed up in Pakistan. Isn't that where they want to start the next war? Come on, folks, wake up. You know, it's hard to sit and think that there's anybody that believes this stuff. It's really difficult to think that there are folks out there that actually believe any of this. You know, what's interesting is my friend and I today we spent many hours in the can you even imagine spending 12 hours in a diesel truck with me? Anyway, what's interesting about this is that we sat and we talked. And this man has known stuff that it's taken me years to get to know. But here's what's interesting is just in passing, I remember years ago, back in the mid-90s, hearing Rush Limbaugh say that he's not a registered voter. He doesn't vote. He's not a registered voter. Why is it that Rush Limbaugh's not a registered voter? You know, if anybody's been following any of this information that I've been putting out over the last year, you'll realize that by registering to vote, you give up your rights. You become one of the persons, the 14th Amendment citizenry. And you don't have any rights. And you're no longer one of the elite or one of the people or one of those folks that actually are protected by the Constitution. The moment you register to vote, it's all out the window. Why is it that Rush Limbaugh talks about both sides, mainly the good guys being the conservatives or the Republicans and the bad guys, the Democrats? Why does he create that division? Why does he drive other people to go make those choices or so-called choices? Why does Rush Limbaugh talk about this stuff but not participate himself? Maybe he knows something that we don't? Maybe? And one last thing, last night, my son ran his last high school track meet, and it was kind of sad because it was also his first season in track, so it was really a pleasure to watch this young man actually start finding himself and enjoying something as simple as just, you know, running. And running is a very individual type sport, and it's fun for people that learn about that aspect because you don't depend on anybody else. And see, this America has gotten away from that the true concept of independence. Everything is about, you know, worrying about other people. I'm not talking about a selfishness as most people understand it. I'm talking about excelling at something that you feel good about. And my son's finally finding something that he enjoys. He played football, a lot of team sports, but all of a sudden track. He's starting to say, you know, Dad, I really like this stuff. I really do. I like it. Being dependent upon myself. Well, it's too bad it's falling apart, son. It's too bad most people want somebody else to take care of them. It's too bad an entire country of people are waiting with their hands out, waiting to be taken care of. Well, you know what? Be careful for what you wish, because it's all coming. Anyway, and finally, so here I am sitting up in the stands watching all these kids exercise and be healthy and enjoy themselves. And I'll be, you know, it's so hard when you're awake. It's so difficult when you're awake. So here I am up in the stands, and I'm watching these two jets almost intersect. I mean, almost collide. But they're just having fun up there because their job is not to move people from one side of the country to another or from one city to another. Their job is to actually spray chemicals upon the masses, spray chemicals upon the sheeple. They're just up there spraying chemicals upon everybody. And I'm looking at the field, looking at the kids warming up, looking at the kids that believe they have a future, looking at all this stuff, and then I look up in the skies, and you know what? I'm the only one looking up. I'm the only one that actually is awake enough to recognize that what's happening on the field, what's happening on the track, is ultimately just wishful thinking, because I know what's coming. The police state, the situation that we're about to experience here in America is going to be frightening, even to those of us that know. We were coming back down a lot of country roads today up in Wisconsin, because like I said, we spent an awful lot of time together, but at the country roads, here's what we both noticed, is there are so many of these new, they call them, they're a type of warning horn for their new warning system, their emergency warning system, and they're everywhere. They're every 5 miles, and in fact, my buddy who is a farmer and is out there, he says, "Kurt, you can't even believe how many of these are popping up all over all the time." And I said, yeah, it's unfortunate that most people just don't care enough to even recognize that there's something else there. Yeah, in 50 years, you know, we've had some pretty bad storms, you know, bad tornadoes, bad, a lot of stuff. We've also had the fake nuclear stuff when I was in grade school, you know, to get under your desk and things like that, the fallout shelters. But why is it that now, today, in 2011, they have to start putting these things in every 3 to 5 miles across the countryside? What is it that they have planned? What is it about these special horns? They're extremely high tech. They rotate, and you know, I have a lot of other information on them. But again, it's just one of those things that is. Are we really in for more bad weather? Are we really in for more potential threats? Why are they coming in at such great numbers all over the Midwest? It's just a question. I mean, you know what? You guys can think it's paranoia or whatever, but in my 50 years, all of a sudden now we need these things, right? So it was ultimately, it was a very uplifting day. We ran way behind. There was a lot of roads closed, a lot of things happening. So we ran behind for a good 50 minutes or so, which is why the show is starting late. So thank you for all of you that hung in there. I really appreciate it. And I think I might even see if I can get Dale on the show, because as an organic farmer, he has a lot of great information, good positive information. For what time we have, for what time we have left. But anyway, let's see.
Well, if he can help me get some of my seeds to germinate, it would definitely be a good show.
You know, you know, we had a get together. I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, and he was covering a lot of things that most folks just don't. They don't want to believe, and it's about the soil and how the United States is damaged, actually is making it a point of doing certain things to the soil. And here's a guy that is completely against the grain, no pun intended, completely against the grain on what the Monsantos of the world and everybody else are—they're forcing into the soil. They're killing the soil. The soil's basically—it's pretty much dead. And his soil is amazing, and it's taken him years to get it to a certain point, and it's alive, and it's actually producing tremendous results. And it's interesting that what they're promoting, what they're pushing, what they're actually paying farmers to use. I mean, farmers become the whores ultimately. There's, you know what it is? Even the farmers have given up on really being farmers. What they want the government subsidies. They want the handouts. They want the benefits like everybody else. And you know what? It's destroying their own crops. But then again, they've been playing that game for a long time. Well, anyway, Dale isn't one of those guys. He doesn't take any money for any reason from the United States, and he still actually has a claim upon his business, his livelihood. When we were up in Wisconsin, he told me that Wisconsin ultimately now, because of certain acts and things that the government has pushed through, the farmers have all signed their land over to Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. So Wisconsin basically is gone. The farmers, I think he told me the number was as high as 97% of all farmland now is owned by the state, by contract. See, here's the problem is, and this leads me to something else that we can do before this first break, but the problem is that people, they're in it for the money. That's it. Their heart isn't there. If they're in it for the money, if their heart was there, they'd be doing things the way Dale's doing them. But it's not. It's what's in it for me. What can I get out of this situation? How can I take advantage? And that's who we've become. And that's why we're in such a dangerous position, because it is about what's in it for me. In fact, that was a big issue with some of the folks that used to come on to my Sunday get-togethers. They were looking for an answer. I mean, people have asked about the withdrawal of consent and things like that, but they thought the withdrawal of consent was some way to get out from paying taxes or some way to get out of the court system or being involved in a ticket or a charge from the police or anything like that. The withdrawal of consent is about something much more powerful. Let's try to do something here. Let me see if I can paint a picture for everybody. The masses, the people, and I mean that us the people, not the elite who are the true people according to their verbiage, their words, their terms, their legal terms. The people, the masses, the American people, they get together and they register to vote. That registration is the institutionalization of a new form of government. So the voters' registration creates a government. That new form of government is called the legislative democracy, and it's located in the District of Columbia. Now, here's the issue that I'm getting at. Everything that happens after that, the non-Article III judiciary court system, it's a private commercial court system that the legislature puts in place, the police state that we currently live under, all the rules, whether it's them controlling the water or controlling the food, the TSA making the rules, taking over Chrysler, it doesn't matter. You see, that's all poisoned fruit from a poisonous tree. If the American people don't want to live with that poisonous fruit, that toxic fruit, they need to get rid of the tree. Everything else, all the ugliness in America is based upon this legislative democracy. Our voters' registration is what keeps this legislative democracy in place. If we no longer want this government, we have to abolish it. We can't keep participating in it. We have to abolish it. If we abolish it, everything else goes with it. Everything. The statutory system that steals our property and our money is part of the legislative democracy. It's poisonous fruit. The court system established in 1938, the UCC, it's all part of this legislative democracy. It's poison fruit. All of it disappears. 100%. The roadblocks, the beatings, the police state, all of it disappears when this form of government disappears. The withdrawal of consent is abolishment, folks. It's not fixing something for you individually. It's not stopping your federal income tax situation. The federal income tax is part of this legislative democracy that you keep voting for, or that you keep participating in. The federal income tax doesn't have anything to do with the rule of law. It's the decision handed down by the corporation known as the United States, established 1871. If you don't want federal income taxes, abolish the government. If you don't want what's going on in America, I hate to say it, but voting, participation at any level, is telling them that this is what you want, because you don't have anything to do with the workings in D.C. Nobody does. No American man or woman has anything to do with the private workings in the District of Columbia. When you register to vote, you give up your power of attorney to whoever holds office. And by proxy, they speak in your stead. You don't have any right to complain about what's going on. The Patriot Act? Hey, you should be clapping for it, because these are the people that you keep allowing to run your life. See, I don't want that. I don't want this system. I don't want the Democrats. I don't want the Republicans. I don't want the Libertarians. I don't want the Ron Pauls. Because why? They're all in the same private legislative democracy that was created after the Civil War. I don't understand why this is so difficult. Folks, you have no options. If you keep participating in this system, you will always get what you've got. There is no way out of this. And so here I spend 12 hours in the cab of a diesel truck hauling a bunch of stuff around, and at least I was with somebody completely sane. Somebody that completely understands this stuff. Somebody that knows that we should not be dealing with the symptoms of the cancer. We should terminate the cancer. And it was a pleasure spending that much time with a man that actually knows who he is, refuses to participate, and still is happy. You know, he's not complaining about what somebody's not doing for him. He's not complaining about the money he's not taking from the United States. You have no idea what a breath of fresh air that is, to spend time with people that don't expect something for nothing. Man.
There's a few of us out there.
It's been a little bit long. Sorry, Ralph. Are you still there?
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's a few of us out. There's a few of us out here.
I know, and that's why, you know, it's fun to get on here every Tuesday night, and you know, it wasn't fun for a while because it was so difficult because of my disappointment in my findings. But you know, it's not so bad when you know what the truth is. Then you can just learn to deal with them. You learn to deal with them. And I think after the break, I'm going to do one other thing. I want to try to explain some things to some folks, because, you know, when you find out where you're at, when you find out where you live, when you find out that there really aren't any choices that you're going to make, the choices are already made for you, and all you're doing is choosing between the choices that have been made, that's when everything gets pretty okay, because you realize, you know what, I guess the masses really do want to be treated poorly. They really do want to be told how to live their lives. They do want what they get. It's tough because a lot of us are stuck with that. But until the rest of the folks who don't want to live this way wake up, and sadly it's going to happen, but it's going to happen in a really ugly way, you know what? There's not a whole lot we can do. So I think, yeah, after the break, we'll do a couple more things. And then remember, the second hour, if folks are still out there, maybe some people will call in. So anyway, yeah, let's get this first break out of the way, and then we'll come back, and hopefully I won't.
All right.
I won't be so angry.
Well, I will say one thing. I'll take a few seconds here to promote my Theaters on Fire Thursday. I'm actually going to take a look at Liberty and Freedom. Is it an illusion or is it a reality in this country? And we're going to explore a little bit of whether or not we're really free in this country. Because I think one of the things that's happened is we've lost sight of just how much we've given up. And like the frog in the pot, when the temperature goes up only a couple of degrees over time, we don't care. Instead, we just say, hey, the jacuzzi's good. Come on in. The water's fine. Until one day, it's over. But that's Thursday night on the Theaters on Fire at 6 p.m. Central. In the meantime, you're listening to Tonight, I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach. We're going out on a break. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Are you prepared for an emergency? Need expert advice? Contact the Survival Center at 1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
Gave us their lives. Their sons and daughters carried on with pride. Our fight for liberty and freedom has no end. It's with our lives that we defend. 'Cause this is America, the place where freedom found its home. In hearts and minds that will never let it go. Stand up in America. Stand tall for all that we believe in. Long live freedom in America. To worship, our right to speak, our right to vote, our right to be free, the right of every child to dream and to believe. No one can take these rights from me. Freedom found its home. In hearts and minds that will never let it go. Stand up in
a chance to do a couple things I needed to do. In fact, I had to go get another beer because I worked such a thirst up in that first 30 minutes. Anyway, gosh, you know what? It's so amazing to me what is happening and how fast it's happening. I know what's going to happen for most folks is they're going to all of a sudden everything, their world is going to collapse, and they're going to say, my gosh, what's going on? And the reason for that, and we've talked about this before, but the reason for that is that when people hear the concept, the idea that they live in a matrix, I mean, their eyes roll back in their head and they just don't get it. But here's the actual situation. It's much easier, I think, to follow this line of thought, and that we are the fish, and we don't recognize the water. And the system that we're living in, we're completely immersed in, it's all around us. It's everywhere. It's there since our birth. We don't recognize it as being a system. We don't recognize it as being a system. So when we come to see it for what it is, it's a horrifying vision, because if you get to the end of it, when you get all the way down, when you see what it is, you realize there is no way out. And this is where I diverge 100% from any Patriot organization. I diverge from all the gurus out there that promote UCC things, common law issues, anything at all. It's not possible, folks. It's not even possible to escape this situation. Some of the brightest guys I know have sent out emails recently that said all the so-called remedies are being shut down in these courts. No kidding. It's about time the courts shut down the remedies. They're tired of playing these games. The games are done.
That's your symbol, folks, that you're moving toward a totalitarian system right there. You want to see an example of that? In a free society, you tolerate that stuff and you deal with it as it comes up. But that is very definitely a threat to the people in power today. You want to notice what happened when the first time one of our military decided to step out and disobey orders because he was concerned about the eligibility of the commander-in-chief. And they let it go by the first time. Meantime, they sort of scraped together to figure out exactly how to defend against it. And then when Commander Terry Lakin came up and essentially did the same thing, they had their system in place, and they slammed the man into Leavenworth for 6 months, violated every judicial process, and committed a military coup d'etat in the process. But who cares? This is not a republic anymore. This is a totalitarian state. We just don't acknowledge it yet. You know, the air stinks, but if you're the bird, you keep flying for as long as you can. Unless you happen to live in Arkansas, and then you probably realize sooner than others that the air became toxic. Back to you. Sorry for the interruption.
Nope, no problem. You just brought up something. The folks don't realize that In 1861, the government disappeared, and a military system was put in its place, 100% military. The rules have changed, folks. Look up the Lieber Code and look at the government that you have. That's the government. All of the folks in the so-called Union States that think that they have common law rights separate from the federal territorial jurisdiction? No. That all disappeared when the United States defeated America in the Civil War. Oh, did I say that? The United States defeated America. The United States owned and operated by the Bank of England and the City of London. The international bankers are the United States, folks. And they defeated the concept of freedom. They defeated the individualism of the American people. They defeated all that. They used the concept of slavery, the North and the South and all that. But that's not the truth. The truth is the United States defeated America in a civil war, and what was the prize? The prize was the sovereignty of the Union States. There is none. And the masses of people that live in these Union States that still to this day believe they have rights, believe they have freedom, they don't. They live in a military jurisdiction established in 1861 by Abraham Lincoln. The bankers established private corporate law systems called the Department of Justice in 1870. By 1938, they had a completely 100% commercial probate system of court. So-called court, they're just administrative offices. There is no America, people. There is no way back to something that has been destroyed. We are in a complete... Please stop me.
No, I'm actually going to sort of amplify something that you said. You know, it's hard for people to understand this, and here's how I like to explain it for folks. You know, in colonial America before 1776, we were essentially a British colony. We were under the crown of England. And what happened in 1776 was we declared our independence and went off to become our own country. We basically threw the bankers out. And this is who we threw out, folks. We threw out the bankers. If you go back to the causes of the Revolutionary War, you'll find that banking and finance were very much a big part of that. The issues of liberty and freedom notwithstanding, the truth of the matter is that when we became the United States in 1787 with the Constitution, the thing that was interesting was that we essentially severed our connections from the crown, i.e. the bankers. Bankers didn't like this. They've been having this problem in their imperialistic endeavors for hundreds of years. We were just another one. And so they set about the task of recapturing us, of, if you will, recolonizing us, at least from a legal standpoint, if not this time from a populist standpoint. And they, the bankers, were finally victorious in 1861. This is not that long a reach for people to understand that America, as it was originally founded, got its independence from England and the Crown, but really what it got its independence from was the bankers. The bankers didn't want to give us up. Why? Because we were potentially the most profitable and most industrious colony that they had ever put on the face of the earth. They wanted it back. They wanted us back. And they schemed and they schemed for 80 years, roughly, until it happened.
Yep. And that was always the intent. That's the thing, is people don't realize that. Just like, I mean, if people can look at what's happening today, look at all the bank bailouts and all that stuff, those giant mega banks are the same bankers. They're the same international banks that have been tugging at America, and I say America because America is the prize. America is the land. America is the folks, the hardworking folks that make it what it is. That's America. The United States has always been something entirely foreign to America. I don't know, and again, people need to learn the difference between America and the United States. The United States has always been a foreign entity to America. That's why the United States of America, it's separated by there's a reason it is, because it's not the same thing. In fact, the United States were the representatives in Congress assembled. There's a separate United States, and there's also the United States that was representative of the assembled congressmen from the Union States. When those guys got together, the United States came into being. There was also a private corporate United States that has always existed that most people don't talk about, but that's for a different night. To piggyback on what Ralph was just saying, in 1776, when the people, and I'll say the people, but they were basically still the ones that had some clout, the ones that were still connected to the crown, when they decided they'd had enough, and that's the Sam Adams and those type of folks. I'm not talking about the dregs of society. I'm talking about the ones that were still connected to England and the crown in some way, shape, or form. They were not considered the lower class. They were considered the elite, or they were still considered the people of America. When they decided to get rid of the yoke of the crown, they did it in 1776. Ralph said it exactly correct. The problem was in 1783, just a few years later, who was it at the Treaty of Paris when John Adams, Ben Franklin, and John Jay got together? These guys were not working for the Americans anymore. They were working for themselves and working for the King of France. And they signed over. They basically made a deal with the King of France that gave everything back. And that's what people don't get is the debt that was incurred, the debt that the Americas still owed to this outfit, the crown. I mean, these guys deceived the people at that point, and they burdened them with a future promise or a promise of paying back the war debts. But how many folks know this? You know what? I didn't know this. They don't teach it in history because the history classes are taught in public schools. Public schools are run by who? The same Zionist bankers. Oh, I shouldn't have said Zionist because most people think that's Israel and the Jews. No, and I know I'm going off topic here, but the Zionists are not Israel and the Jews. The biblical Jews are not Zionists. The Zionists are the Khazarian artificial Jews. They are the Rothschilds. They are the people that are ruining this planet. So when you see the word Zion or Zionist, don't automatically connect them to the biblical Jews. They're not the same. Please don't email me or text me about this stuff. Learn it for yourself. Don't get on my case when you don't know something. The Zionists are the ones tearing apart the planet. They are the most murderous group of folks ever to exist. They are the bankers, the Rothschilds. They start wars everywhere. Every square inch of planet Earth is being devastated by the Zionists. And again, do not talk to me about the biblical Jews. By the way, Israel was set up by the Zionists, not the biblical Jews. So here, I know that's gonna really cause ruckus.
Yeah.
But again, you need to go do this for yourself, so you don't start taking out all your hatred and anger and all your misinformation on me. Go look it up. You'll find it out to be true, and that Israel was created by the Rothschilds for their purposes, and it's working out just fine. In fact, if you look at the America or the United States government, you got nothing but dual citizenships. The Zionist Rothschild folks that are in office. Why is it that everybody in the United States government or anybody that has anything to do with it are dual Israel United States citizens?
And
can
I just
please answer that to me.
And I just have to put something in here. Benjamin Netanyahu gave a speech before Congress to 26, no less than 26 standing ovations and applause during that speech, according to the information I have. Now imagine that for a minute. The one comment I'll make is that the Zionists very, very adroitly hide behind the Jews and Israel, and basically use them as a foil to keep the pressure and to keep the focus off of them.
Absolutely.
So the Jewish
brilliant.
So the Jewish people
brilliant.
The Jewish people are being used and exploited
yep.
by these criminals.
But Ralph, and again, I'm not speaking in a religious fashion or anti-religion. The Khazarian Zionists that claim to the whole aspect, the biblical aspect of the Jews and all that, not the same people. And the history is there for people to read about. I mean, seriously, folks, read it for yourself. Don't get angry at me for telling the truth. You need to look into this stuff. Now, here's what's interesting about the sadness, and this is what scares me the most, is that there's a lot of absolutely wonderful people out there, Christian people, that are defending Israel and think that we should be defending it at our own peril, that we should be funding it, and yet nobody even realizes that the Rothschilds created Israel. They created everything about it, and it's theirs to play with, and they're using Israel to dominate the planet, and it's sick. It sickens me to no end, and it's unfortunate that the Christians, the ones that are now stuck with their 501c3 churches and all that misleadership, they're being told that we need to defend Israel. I got to tell you something, folks. The problem is nobody's doing any real research themselves. They're all just following blindly down into the pits of hell, and we're going there because nobody wants to. We're intellectually lazy. Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. We're intellectually lazy. We want to be told what to think. And until we do something different about this, until we actually want to take control of our lives, until we want to do something, this is where we're going. And there's no way to stop it because not enough people want to start thinking for themselves. In fact, like I said, even in my case, there's too many people to say, Kurt, tell us what to do so we don't have to pay taxes. You know what you got to do to not pay taxes? Get rid of this legislative democracy that have completely taken over America. Abolish it. Abolish it. I'll say it again. Abolish it.
You know what?
That's what the withdrawal of consent is.
Yeah, there is another way to avoid paying taxes. Just be unemployed.
Well, again, if you know what the word employ means, if you know what the word employed or employer means,
mm-hmm.
See, that's another thing. And we talked about this all day too. Some of the stuff is so simple. Some of the answers to this cancer they're so simple. Do you realize that if the American people woke up one day and said, you know what, we're not going to tolerate legalese. We're not going to tolerate a separate language for the District of Columbia. Legal language. We're not going to allow the word person to mean corporation. We're not going to allow the word state to mean the District of Columbia. We're not going to allow the word transportation to mean a form of punishment. We're not going to allow the idea. See, if we got rid of the legal ease, their house of cards falls. They don't have any control. It's the legal ease in their private court system that keep us in check. That's one way. The other way is to completely get rid of the entire Federal Reserve system and the private banking system and the fiat currency, their fiat currency. Just say, you know what, United States, your debt, handle it. Your debt, not ours. The American people don't own a debt. They don't have a debt. The United States has a debt. And the sad part is when you claim U.S. citizenship, you decide to put the burden of that debt on your own back. Because Section 4 of the 14th Amendment says the public debt shall not be questioned. And when you claim U.S. citizenship, you become part of that public. The public, what does the public actually mean? The public means to be one of the civilians, one of the folks that are part of the municipal corporation known as the District of Columbia. That's the public. The public is not Wisconsin. It's not Illinois. It's not Nevada. It's not Arizona. It's not Florida. It is the District of Columbia. That is the public. The public only applies to the District of Columbia. That means that whenever they speak of the public, they mean the District of Columbia. So if you claim to be one of the public, if you're a public official, if you're anything to do with the public, you're talking about the citizenship aspect or belonging to the private corporation established 1871 called the District of Columbia. The public means the District of Columbia. It doesn't mean any place you are currently. There's nobody listening to this station right now. Nobody listening to the show right now. That is in the District of Columbia, yet when you consider yourself in public, you're saying that you're in the 10-mile square known as the District of Columbia. Does anybody know this stuff? Because if you start understanding that it's their words, their private system of communication, their terminology, it's their language that has captured us. If we outlawed, if we made, and I mean outlawed, not make it illegal, but if we outlawed it, if we outlawed the legalese of the District of Columbia, the statutes, nothing that goes on in the District of Columbia would apply to us anymore. Nothing. That's just by outlawing. You know what? Every judge that uses their private language should be hanging from a tree. The American people should not tolerate this private language that they use in their court system. To capture us. Do you realize even the 14th Amendment, when it says all persons, just that alone is making us liable to everything they decide in the District of Columbia. That's how simple this stuff is. And ultimately, if you get rid of the Federal Reserve note, if you get rid of that private system, by the way, I'm still talking symptoms. Everything I'm speaking about right now only exists because we have chosen a different form of government that is not constitutional. The legislative democracy is created and held buoyant. It's held up. We're actually enamored with it still to this day, 2011. This thing is wiping us out, and we keep holding it up because now there's a new front runner, Ron Paul. You know what? There are people out there that say, God, Ron Paul is the answer. No, Ron Paul is the cancer. Ron Paul is in the same system that is choking us to death. And as long as we stay as participants in this system, everything that happens in the District of Columbia is consented to by the masses. It's still about consent, 100%. So anyway, I don't know how I got on that. So, sorry folks. Oh, by the way, I was thinking about, and Ralph, I'd like your input on this. I've been using, I don't call it the United States anymore. I call it the United Estates. That's E-S-T-A-T-E-S, Estates, United Estates, because that's what they truly are. The United States is private, but the United Estates is actually the property owned by the Crown, and they are reclaiming it. We were driving through the countryside, and I only got another minute or so here before the next break. But we were driving through the countryside, and he was pointing out a lot of the farms, a lot of the houses that were vacant, currently vacant, where people just kind of bailed out and just let them go. And I looked at him and I said, let me tell you something, Dale. Here's what I think is actually going to happen. I actually think that the banks aren't trying to put people in them. They're not trying to rent them. They're not trying to do anything because I believe they're trying to reclaim the land. I think the banks, I think the Crown, I think the Bank of England, the City of London, I think they're in America, they are trying to reclaim the land. They're trying to keep it now for themselves. They don't even want it to go back into the hands of the inhabitants or the people or whatever, or the masses, I should say. They don't want anybody in those things anymore. They're going to let them go.
This is a plank in This is a plank in Agenda 21. Read it, folks. About depopulating certain land centers in the country and migrating us all to small concentrated areas of control.
Agenda 21, by the way, in Rockford, Illinois, is going strong. I mean, our non-elected folks, the ones in the councils and things like that. See, most people don't realize that the elected officials have nothing to do with anything that's actually going on. It's the unelected councils in the regional government that has been established, was long established, but that's where the real power lies. The elected officials are just window dressing people. They have nothing to do with what actually happens around here anymore, and Nixon made sure of that back in the late 60s and early 70s. But anyway, I think we got to take a break here. Ralph, any last words, or should we just get out of here for a few minutes?
Kurt, you want to open the phones in the last hour?
Oh, heck yeah. Thank you.
All right. Before we go out on break, then, let me give out the number. If you're in the chat room, it's on the right-hand side of the chat. If you're listening to us off the chat, please dial. If you want to get on the line with us, please dial area 305-848-8888. Press 1 to enter a conference, and then the conference number 480-463-1243. Follow that by the pound sign. It'll read your conference number back to you. Press 1 to enter. You'll hear two gong sounds, and you will be in the conference on air. Please remain quiet. We'll acknowledge you. And if you're listening to the show on your computer in the background, please turn it down, because the live feed on the radio and what you hear on the Internet are delayed by or differed by about a minute or so, and it can make things real confusing. So in the meantime, we'll be back after the break and take your calls. In the meantime, you're listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach. We'll be back.
Are you prepared for an emergency? Need expert advice? Contact the Survival Center at 1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
It came along. Everyone that knew him knew which side that he'd be on. He never was a hero for this county's shining light, but you could always find him standing up for what he thought was right. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything." Now we might have been better off or on the bigger house if Daddy'd done more giving in or a little more backing down. But we always had plenty just to live in his advice. Whatever you do today, you'll have to sleep with the night. He'd say, "You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. I know the thing
different than they were in Daddy's day. But I still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right, then uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Folks, we forgot to switch over the phone lines here. If you're calling in on the other line, we'll join you in a few minutes here. So let's go ahead and make that change, Kurt. We'll be right with you. I'm sorry I had a little sidetracked here. So that's what live radio is. Switch over now. Go for it.
Yep, let's do it. Let's do it right now.
Folks, hang with us for just a minute, and we will be right back. And we're back on once again. While we're waiting for Kurt to come back on, we are taking calls now. You can reach us by dialing 305-848-8888. Press 1 to enter a conference, and then follow that by the conference number 480-463-1243. Follow that by the pound sign. When it comes back and gives you the conference number, you'll be able to press 1 to enter the call. You'll hear two beeps, and you'll be in the conference with us. Please remain quiet. We'll know you're there and bring you on at the appropriate moment. And if you're listening to the show on your computer in the background, please turn it down so that you can hear the show, and you'll be able to hear the show feed through your phone. So, Kurt, are you back with us?
Yeah, I finally made it.
Good.
I
can hear you this time, the first time, so.
Yeah, so, yeah, it would be great to hear from some folks. I know that it, you know, it's not a big deal. Call us in, complain, tell me I'm wrong, tell Ralph he's wrong.
Please tell me I'm wrong. You have no idea how much I want to be wrong. I don't want to believe that what's happening is happening. You know, and I don't want to believe when Bob Chapman tells us that since the last election failed, as we kind of expected it would, that total collapse and possibly revolution is with us. Caller, we have a caller on the line. Caller, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Ralph and Kurt. This is Woody from California.
Hey, Woody. Oh, hi there, Woody.
Hi, guys. Hey, I have a... You know, Kurt, on May 3rd, when you let the cat out of the bag, it hit me like a ball bat when you said that if you're a U.S. citizen, you only have delegates in the District of Columbia. And, you know, I never took the logic to that end like you did. Where did you get that?
I came to that conclusion myself.
Wow.
No, there's, Woody, what's cool about this stuff is that when you start to see it for what it really is, and I know you're way ahead of most folks, and I don't mean to diminish anybody else, but yeah, if you think about this, you're a resident of the District of Columbia. That is where your allegiance is, and that's where they consider you politically. So all of a sudden you go, wait a minute here, every registered voter is a resident of the District of Columbia. That means every registered voter, all of them, all 130 million, equal 3 Electoral College votes.
Yeah, so where do the other electoral votes come from, as if I cared?
The Senate.
Oh,
remember, all senators, 17th Amendment senators in the federal government, so they're voting for the rest of the states. By the way, and this is another, the other half of that, which is kind of cool, but the other half of the fact that you're a resident of the District of Columbia, who has representation in Congress?
The states.
The states. Is the District of Columbia one of those union states?
No.
Then how can anybody expect representation?
Yeah, that's good logic, deduction there.
Yeah, but that's what's so crazy about this stuff, is they have us thinking one thing completely opposite of the truth. Completely opposite. That's why we're still participating. They can look us in the eyes and say, you guys elect, you're still participating in this. Well, at 3 Electoral College votes, are they telling the truth? Yes. Is there any chance that anybody out of the 130 million will ever elect anybody? No. But we are participants at a very, very minuscule level.
Can you send out the law that that defines exactly what a U.S. citizen is, so that when we show people this, we can just say, and here's the evidence of it, instead of saying, oh, no, that can't be, you know, because I'm a sheeple, and I like white picket fences, and I'm in the fantasy.
Well, Woody, here's the problem with that is that, number one, it's in the 14th Amendment. Number two, every word in there is a legal term. Number three, people don't believe that the legal terms exist. So when it says all persons born or naturalized, I had a buddy of mine, one of the guys on my Sunday get-togethers, he says, Kurt, Barack Hussein Obama is a corporation. Yeah, that makes him a person. And all persons, every corporation in America is registered through the United States, 100% of them. That means Barack Hussein Obama is a person within the United States. But that's a corporate person. It has nothing to do with flesh and blood men or women, which is what everybody believes means constitutes, you know, somebody that qualifies for the president of the constitutional America. Well, he doesn't have to qualify for that because, number one, Barack Hussein Obama's traded on Dun & Bradstreet. I mean, he's a corporation. It's a corporation, which all corporations registered in the United States are persons. All persons born or naturalized within the United States are citizens of the United States. You see the logic?
Yeah, he's more of an actor CEO than anything. And to add on to that, you know, if I was born with birthrights, a sovereign human with birthrights, why would I ever need a president to represent me or any representatives at all? I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't understand why people, you know, want to buy into this system that they taught us in grade school.
Because it seems like a good thing. And you know what? Here's a really strange thought is, number one, everybody thinks America is the best country on the planet. First of all, the United States is not a country. In fact, it's a foreign entity to America. The United States is a foreign entity to America. It's not a country. It's a private company. But you already knew that. And the other thing is that, what have they been telling us since we were all children? It is a privilege to vote.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is a privilege to vote. It's not a right. It's a privilege. And that privilege comes by what? Voters registration. You only have the privilege if you register for the private system known as the legislative democracy established 1871. It is a privilege to vote in their system. It is not a right.
And look at the weight, by the way. Look at the connotation that is put on the word privilege.
Like it's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to what you were talking about in the last half hour about the language, Kurt, and about the private systems and its language. Everything is couched not only in language to enable their point, but it is also couched in a way that makes us feel good about being privileged in their system. There's a lot of different ways to put that, and I don't mean to be trite, silly, and stupid here, but the point is that most people don't understand how they are entrapped by that language, just like you said. There's a brilliant example of it.
Well, that's the beauty, and Woody, you'll appreciate this. Do you realize if the American people woke up and said, you know what, we don't know how to do this, But there is one thing we will no longer tolerate. We will no longer tolerate legal language in America. If only the legal language, the legalese was taken out, anything statutory, in fact, the 14th Amendment would make no sense at that point because all persons born or naturalized persons are a whole separate ballgame. The corporations would not be allowed to be participants, and flesh and blood men and women are not persons. So the entire statutory system would collapse just by us hanging the judges from the trees that were using legal language. If we just took out the legal language and said we're only using words as Webster defines them, this whole thing collapses. But that's the simplicity of this. I want to answer the rest of your question, though. You were talking about, can you show the law? There are no laws. There is no law in America. The corporate charter, the constitution that we're currently working under, the 14th Amendment is not a law. It's a corporate, it's a statute. In fact, the entire constitution, the 1871 constitution established in 1871 is a statute. It is not even, that's all it is. It's a statute. It's a legislative statute. Nobody knows that. I mean, there are very few people who know that. But nobody realizes that the Constitution established by the legislative democracy in 1871 is a statute. That's all it is. So people need to get on board with this. But to when it comes down to the law, the 14th Amendment, what it states is all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. If you apply standard words to that and not legalese, standard words tosses the whole 14th Amendment out. It doesn't make any sense. If we outlaw, not make illegal, but outlaw, if we outlaw legalese and we punish people for using it, that's everybody. If the American people punish the court system for using legalese, when a man walks in and they say, are you this, and they're implying a person, a corporate person, an estate established at your birth through birth certification, you would be able to say, no, I'm not, and walk out of the court, and all their charges would fall. Instead, because they're using legal terms as opposed to words, they capture you, they hold you as a hostage, or as, and throw you in jail. So my point is, there is no way around, there is no law. The 14th Amendment's not law, it's a private charter, it's just another piece in their document that captures us, and we keep giving into it. But it's the language that they're using, not the words, it's their legal language that is capturing us, and there's no way to stop this without just saying, nope, we're outlawing the legal language. Either you're using words or not. If you're using anything other than regular dictionary words that the world recognizes, we're going to hang you from the trees. That's the answer right there. But there is no law, by the way. The 14th Amendment's not even law. So I don't know how to answer your question other than just not accept the legal language anymore.
Well, I mean, I would. People look at the law as if they respect it, and, you know, like, this is the law, like, I just wanted to have something to show them if they contested what I said. I really like your idea that you mentioned at the beginning of the show about abolishing this government that we've created by becoming U.S. citizens. And I think if we can get this message out, you know, to a broader public, I wanted to ask you, oh, by the way, I edit these shows and I cut them to CD, and that show that you did on the 3rd, I call it, I think it's from your email, Exit the For-Profit Murder Machine Called the United States.
Hey, by the way, I'm sitting on, not literally, but I'm sitting on a disc that I've been, for a month now, maybe 3 weeks, it's sitting in a padded envelope, not a padded room, a padded envelope, and it's probably, it's the best, class as far as, making sense to people. All the drawings are there, and I guess the thing is when you see the division, when you see the choice between legislative democracy and republican form of government, when you actually see it on a whiteboard, it makes all the sense in the world. That's when you go, wait a minute, the voters registration, we're actually saying we don't want the Constitution. That is true. We don't want the Constitution. The moment we register to vote is the moment we give up everything. We give up everything the moment we register to vote. So the withdrawal of consent, and again, to be clear about this, the withdrawal of consent, I never wanted to say this on the air. I thought people would be able to figure it out themselves, but again, no offense to anybody, but the withdrawal of consent is the abolishment of the United States. The withdrawal of consent is negating, it's undoing your voters' registration. The voters' registration is the institutionalization of the United States. It is what created the legislative democracy. It is through your signature, your consent, your claim, your allegiance.
Pledge of allegiance.
That's a pledge, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is when you withdraw consent, when you turn that in, when you negate your voter's registration, you are actually actively abolishing your participation. You're saying, I refuse this legislative democracy. It is not my government. And if the masses understood that, and by the way, we talked about this in the truck today, here's how simple this is. My job at the very beginning of this, a year ago, March or whenever I started this thing, my job was to affect 10 people. That's it. That was my job. I realized that if I could teach 10 people, just 10, to understand what it is that I was learning, and maybe even have them go with me on the learning curve, if I could just get 10 people to understand this and go out and do the same thing, let's see what these numbers, how they really come out. Woody, by the way, you're one of them, so you're one of my 10. Anyway, if 10 people affected 10, that's one generation. That's 100, 10 times 10. Times 10 is 1,000, times 10, 3 generations is 10,000, times 10 is 100,000, times 10, this is the 5th generation, is 1 million, in the 6th generation it's 10 million, and in the 7th generation you're at 100 million people. And how many people have you personally taught? How many people have you personally affected? How many people have you actually spent time and invested time with, invested money with? 10. That's it. And see, 100 million people all of a sudden understand that when they register to vote, they're part of the 3 electoral college party. They're not part of the state anymore, therefore they don't have any representation. They have given up all their rights and allowed some numbskull in D.C. to vote on their behalf by proxy and have all their rights taken from them, also giving up power of attorney. So, I mean, this stuff is so powerful, this stuff is so simple, but you know what? They're telling us something that we struggle with. We struggle with, this is counterintuitive. It's a privilege to vote. I need to get out there and do that. Yep. Right. In what system? Legislative democracy.
You participate in a populist coup d'etat.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
Well, you know, I hold Patriot meetings once a month on the last Friday. It actually was the Ron Paul meetup group back in 08. And when he pulled out of the race, we just became the Ventura Patriots. But anyway, in January, when you first came out with the U.S. Citizen show, I edited it and cut it to CD and played it at one of those meetings. So the word is getting out, and I'm going to play this one this Friday, the exit the for-profit murder machine called the United States. And so it's going to get out some more. But one more thing on the three electors. Have you run Chris and Peter? Because they are on the RBN every Wednesday. I believe it's 11 o'clock Eastern. And if you can get to them before that time tomorrow and get them to understand what you're saying, do you think that could take it a lot farther?
Did you say Joyce?
Joyce and
no,
Peter.
No, you cut out. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Joyce and Peter, yeah.
I think Joyce, I don't know if I should say this on the air, but Joyce emailed me.
Don't.
And said that she was terminal.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and you know, and it's, and I love that woman, and I haven't spoken to her.
Oh, yeah, we all do.
So here, and she just said that, and she actually told me, Kurt, you know, get out. Don't even bother with these people anymore.
Yeah,
she said that. Yeah, she said that. She said, don't bother with this. You need to go live your life and enjoy it because this thing is collapsing.
The good news, if there can be said to be good news in this, is that what withdrawal of consent was all about really was withdrawing the support of this criminal entity called the United States, this usurping power, if you will. But the thing that's interesting is that she's right. It is collapsing, and it is collapsing all on its own. And were it not for all of the people in this country who are dependent on it for their subsistence, whether it be Social Security, unemployment, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, whatever the government gives, is what's going to be lost when it collapses. If we had had in this country a system like they had in the Soviet Union, you know, where it was understood that the government was corrupt, it was understood that central planning didn't work, and what it did was it fostered amongst the Soviet people this independence, this creation of black markets, if you will, these alternative currency and barter systems out there, such that when their government finally collapsed, people looked at each other and said, what happened? I don't know, but it's business as usual, and they went on about their lives. They were nowhere near as impacted by the collapse of a centralized system that had so alienated their productivity that they devised alternate and independent means to survive as citizens and groups. Unfortunately, in this country, we have no such independence. We have no such fallback because the coercion into our system and the promise of perpetual support has been so embraced by the people that they traded away their independence for this system's continued support. And one day when it isn't here, and it will not be here, probably a lot sooner than most people think, they will find out just how dependent they were. And something, you know, a new paradigm will emerge, and it may or it may not be pretty. But the good news is that, you know, one of the things we've always had to deal with in this, you know, in this movement or in this discussion, if you will, and I've had this conversation with a few people who say, well, y'all don't have enough people to make a difference. Well, guess what? For those patriots who are trying to work within the elected system, you don't have enough people to affect your Congress in any meaningful way unless you can put multiple millions of people on the steps of Congress and out in front of the White House. You have no power and no say either. So we all face the same problem, insufficient numbers. The good news is that the tapeworm has finally, you know, threatened to kill the host and in the process is going to starve itself into oblivion. But the pain that the people in this country are going to go through will be immeasurable, inestimable.
Yeah. It'll be rough for a while, won't it? Our bucket has a hole in it. We're putting all this energy into our, quote, representatives, and they're not really our representatives. But anyway, I'm going to get off here. I know you're going to break pretty quick. I just want to urge everybody to stop filing taxes, stop using anything the banksters create, buy gold and silver and prepare. And nice talking to you, Kurt and Ralph, and I'll just listen for the rest of the show and let somebody else get in here.
Thanks, Woody.
Okay, bye, guys.
Thanks, Woody.
Bye.
Have a good one. You're listening to I Am the People. We're going to go out on our final break. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Contact the Survival Center at 1-800-321-2900 or visit their website at survivalcenter.com. With over 35 years of knowledge and experience, the Survival Center is America's premier preparedness center.
hour. I cannot believe I made it to the refrigerator and back in that short amount of time.
And even talk to me off air in the process. That was quick.
And you know what?
Cordless
I'm on a hard
phone,
line, so my phone doesn't stretch all the way there. So when the last word out of my mouth, I actually heard the music coming, and I said, oh, my God, I have about 12 seconds tops. Anyway, you know, I forgot to say this earlier because somebody brought up, I noticed in the chat, I'm not going to go back there now, but somebody actually used the word, I think animals were the American people or the U.S. citizen was considered. In 1906, and I heard this, actually I saw it the other day, in 1906, one of the early, it was something to do with the ecology, because they were talking about, what I was reading was about the American citizens and the ecology of the planet or the country. But they used a word, and this is kind of weird because it's hard to believe they meant it in this fashion, but it said humans, I mean, in this particular line, and I will dig it up for next week, I guarantee it, but they were saying that humans or other animals.
Yeah, that came out of Alfred Adask, actually. Adask brought that up. If you'll remember, Alfred was the fellow on the 60 Minutes hit piece, and he did an interview on one of the Blog Talk Radio shows where he actually talked about that. And what they were talking about is they were talking about the pharmaceutical industry.
That's
and the fact that there were laws out there that basically prohibited the use of drugs on humans or on persons and other animals.
Persons, that's what it was.
Persons and other animals. And he drew the distinction of, wait a minute, you're saying persons and other animals, you are now classifying a person as an animal. And that basically, from his position, built really discrimination of religion, potential suit that they went through. But the thing that was interesting was, I kind of took from that, leaving out the details of that suit, I took from that the larger picture, that it gives you some idea of how the United States and its statutes, if you will, view the people.
The citizenry.
Yeah. As persons or other animals. And he went through and he found it in the federal, he found that in the federal U.S. code. And then he went and he looked in the states and found it in the states as well. And that was, you know, in the state statutes. And that was kind of an indication that, hey, this wasn't an action, you know, an accident. Because his first reaction was that word other. Oh, what a, you know, as he said it, you know, what a bunch of dummies. They put that word, you know, other in there. If he said persons and animals, it wouldn't have meant the same. But no, it was persons and other animals, implying that the person was an animal. But what was interesting was he got some calls from people who happened to hear this thing when he first made the presentation from around the world. And one of them was a fellow from Australia who called in and observed that it was also the same in their code. So never underestimate the reach of the globalist eugenics agenda.
And that was, if I remember correctly, it was 1906 or 1907. So this stuff has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, too, that the 14th Amendment is specific. It says, it does not say all men, all women, all people. It says all persons. So they were very clear about what word they chose as their term for U.S. citizen. And that's what's interesting about this 1906 thing, is it says persons or other animals. So the U.S. citizen is considered just another animal to be, profited from, as far as I'm concerned. That's the sad truth of what we're dealing with here. And I know, you know, this is so, I think the difficult thing for me is I had somebody, the guy's pretty intelligent, I gotta admit, but this is a guy out of Oregon, Oregon, the Union State, I should say, and he got a little bit, riled when I was trying to make a point along these lines, and he keeps going back to this old what I now consider patriot myth, and that's the myth of rights, the myth of the common law, the myth of a remedy, the myth that there's some way to handle this. You know, I think those days are gone. I think we need to quit pretending. Every single indicator out there, everyone, 100%, is that there are no rights. When you can watch a YouTube video showing a sheriff's deputy busting in a door of a house, and the lady saying, "You're violating my rights," and he says in the video, "You have no rights." See, the thing is that the United States citizens don't understand, literally understand, that they have only privileges. They don't have any rights. And the Bill of Rights has its own preamble, people. It has its own preamble. It has nothing to do with the Constitution, number one. But ultimately, the Bill of Rights has nothing to do with non-landowners. See, this is something I was going to talk about earlier. And this is one of those dead horses I need to bring up all the time, or beat,
flog.
Flog. Here's the way it works, and I'm going to say this again, and I know I said it last week or the week before. Only the true landowner was considered one of the body politic in any union state or colony. It didn't matter. If you did not have land, if you were not a land owner given to you by the king, in other words, you did not have original ownership of the land granted to you by the king, you're not the landowner. If you were not a landowner, you were not one of the body politic. You were not one of the people of the state, of the union state. If you were not one of the people of the union state, you were not represented in the United States. You were not part of the Constitution. You were not one of we the people. So, let's say this again. If you were not one of the original granted landowners, you are not one of the body politics within the Union States or colonies. If you are not one of the body politic, you are not represented, because you are not one of the people. You are not represented in Congress by your leadership, your elected representatives. You were not part of the people. You were not part of the United States. You were an inhabitant. That was the best it got for you. Were you protected by the 10th Amendment by being an inhabitant of a union state? Yes, you were. You were protected by the state of your birth, but you were not one of the people of that state. Until the patriot community understands something that simple, we are not going to get anywhere in our quest for freedom, true freedom. Everybody keeps wanting to go back to a system, the Republic. The Republic was about, still, the Republic was about the people. The people were the original landowners and their posterity. If you were not one of the people or the posterity, the original landowners, you were not participants in the United States government. You are not protected by the Constitution. You are not an Article 4 citizen. If you are not a landowner, you are not an Article 4 citizen. If you are not an Article 4 citizen, you had nothing to say. And that's the way it really is. So the hard part for most folks, because they think that by having even an allodial title isn't the same thing as the original land grant. And so you're still not participants, you're still not a landowner. And that's why this is so hard, is most people don't realize that they're fighting for something they have no right to participate in. They're actually fighting for their own demise. They're fighting for their own enslavement. They're fighting for their own restrictions. They're fighting for the elite to tell them how to live their lives.
And let's,
so here we go.
Let's put a distinction in here, too. You were talking about allodial title and land grants and so forth. I'm actually doing some research in that area right now. Here's something to, here's something for you all to think about. If you've been through the real estate system, even if you're, if you're in property, you're only in that property as a tenant, you probably have, assuming you bought your house and actually own it outright, you probably have something called a warranty deed. Go read the warranty deed. First off, you'll find out it is not title. It is a color of title. It purports to be a title, but does not grant you ownership in the terms that you may understand ownership to mean. Therefore, you are not a landowner. More to come on that, but that's an interesting topic. Woody sent me some stuff a while back, and I've actually been looking into that and pursuing that a little bit. And let's just say Alice's rabbit hole has got another another branch I'm going down.
Here's the beauty, though, is what Woody did. I mean, going after the land patent or the the allodial title, that's the best it's going to get. But here's what I like. Here's what people need to understand, and I cover this occasionally. It just happened to pop into my head tonight. Everything that's going wrong, again, even though it's only a symptom, everything that's going wrong, the title to your property, when somebody else says, hey, listen, you're not making payments, you need to let this place go. Well, here's the thing. That's only if we believe in their fraudulent system. So I said what we need to do is to make unlawful. We need to make it unlawful, not illegal, unlawful, to use legal terms. We need to just abolish. We need to tell them that anybody caught using legal terms will be hanging from the trees. That's number one. But also, we need to also say, you know what? All of your fraudulent land situations. When in 1776, when America claimed its independence from the crown, that means all land, anything bound up, anything that was not fee simple, anything that the crown claimed is ours. We can do that today. All we have to do is negate, no longer recognize they're fraudulent contracts. You know what? When you register your automobile, you give it to the state of California, the state of Illinois, the state of Florida. When you register something, you hand it over to the state of. You're actually freely giving it away. When you register your property down at the office that you are told you need to register, you're giving away your land no matter what. I mean, every single aspect about this is fraudulent. Somebody says, but Kurt, if it's fraudulent, that means it doesn't hold up in court. No, it wouldn't hold up in a real court. It wouldn't hold up in a real system that had real courts. We don't have real courts. We have courts that are provided to us by the people that make the rules. And what is their ultimate goal? Their goal is to take everything from us. Do you think they're going to allow us to keep things in their courts? I don't think so. What I'm getting at is this, is that when they say it's time to give back your land, it's time, no. See, the assets don't disappear in America. The Chinese can lay claim to something, but it's still here. The Bank of England can lay claim to something. The Zionists can lay claim to something, but only if we give it to them. Only if we walk away, do they have access to it. The American people are living here in America. The moment they wake up and say, we will no longer recognize your fraudulent contracts, your fraudulent currency, your fraudulent life here, your fictional aspect, the moment the American people wake up to the fraudulent United States is the moment we have the assets, we have the wealth. It's all here, folks. And it's going to stay here. It's not going anywhere. China doesn't pick up Idaho and walk back to China with it. Idaho stays here. China doesn't pick up Illinois and walk back to China with it. Illinois stays here, unfortunately.
Although you'd probably say they'd be better off if they take it. And while you're at it, let me give you California. Let me just put in a caveat there so I don't get the hate mail. I'm not saying anything against Illinois and California, but in the context of the conversation that we're having, please, China, take all of these United States, take the whole thing, but we'll remain here with the land, and you can take the tapeworm.
Well, that's the thing nothing disappears, nothing, and the American people are afraid that it's all gone away. No, the United States owes the debt. The American people and the American assets are here. The United States made the commitments that they can't keep unless the American people allow it. The United States is the pig. The United States is the tool of the Zionists. The United States is the tool of the Bank of England. It's the tool of the City of London. It's the tool of the Vatican. The American people can wake up and terminate. I mean, in fact, think about it this way. The nightmare we're currently experiencing would disappear if the American people woke up.
In an instant.
In an instant. The moment the American people wake up, the nightmare ends. The asset transfer goes away, because you know what? Only if we allow it, only if we believe in their paper, the fraudulent paperwork system. You know what? They've given us nothing in return. Nothing. You go get a mortgage on a house and you hand them the asset and they hand you nothing in return and say, by the way, we're fronting the money for this. They're fronting nothing.
That's right. They put up nothing.
You're fronting your future labor to earn that asset, and they're taking that labor. They front nothing. And my point is that all of this stuff is fraudulent. And everybody says, but Kurt, if it's fraudulent, then it can't exist. It does exist because it's their rule book. It's their court's rule on it, and we keep allowing it. We believe in it, and we allow it to occur. The moment we wake up to the truth, the moment the Americans, not the United States, the United States is the pig, the United States is the murder machine. We gotta stop identifying ourselves with the United States. The United States is foreign. Look it up. Look it up in your Black Law. Look it up anywhere. Look it up in the UCC. The United States is a foreign entity to America. And always has been. It is, by the way, the United States is the enemy of America. So when you hear all this other scary stuff, when you hear this stuff, when you hear them talk about the Patriot Act and they're gonna start stomping on the homegrown terrorists, you know who the terrorists are? The terrorists on American soil is the United States. That's who the terrorists on American soil is. The United States is a foreign entity. It's a 10-mile square known as the district, within the District of Columbia. It has nothing to do with America. When will the American patriots surface? When will the American people wake up? When will the American people start to reclaim America? Screw the United States. It is the beast on the planet. It starts wars everywhere. But it always has the backing of the American people. The American people think that they're part of the United States. They are not.
The way to think of this, the way to think of this is, we had America. America was the, you know, was the land and the people on it. And we were invaded by this living, organic, breathing, functioning entity that came upon us and squat upon the land and ultimately perpetrated a coup d'etat on America. And they are now in charge. And the problem we have in this country is that we, the people, have collapsed the distinction between America and this entity that has come and squat upon us and literally crushed us to death. They are distinct. I pointed out in last Thursday's show, I asked the question in on Theaters on Fire, what is it that when we are so, when our listeners are so up in arms about what's happening in this country, what is it that we're upset about? What is it that we're defending? What is it that we feel is threatened? It turns out that's not an easy question. It's a simple question, but it's not an easy question. What is it that we feel threatened such that we're having these conversations on this radio station, such as we're having increasing listenership, such as people are becoming more and more concerned? What is the threat? More appropriately, we know what the threat is. What is being threatened? What is it that we are protecting? That's America, the land, the people, and the culture. What are we protecting? What are we feeling we need to protect it against? This living, breathing tapeworm organization that, as we have discovered in this, on these shows, is called the United States. It is a foreign entity, this United States. It is a foreign corporation. It is a foreign enemy. But make no mistake, it has performed a coup d'etat on America. And we are now being occupied by it. But it is not us. It is not America. It is not the country. It is not what we are feeling the need to protect. Rather, it is quite different. You know, with all this stuff in the future, the government is talking about, what do they call COG? Continuity of government in the event of natural or other man-caused disaster. They're talking about continuity of government, not continuity of the country. They're not talking about the country continuing. They're talking about continuity of government. They say it as an entity quite distinct from what you and I have sort of colloquially called our country. It is not. And I think it's important to make that distinction, to identify what is and what is not. Anything to add to that, Kurt?
Nope. I got to tell you something. That was beautiful, because the hardest thing to get across to people is that America is not the United States, and the United States is not America. They have nothing in common. They have completely separate motives on every aspect. And the biggest difference is, and has been definitely since the 1871 era, the bankers aren't even hiding it anymore. the United States is owned by the international banks. America are the American people and their dreams and their hopes and everything that they do and their families and their friends and their loved ones. That's America. The United States is a private, for-profit murder machine that is actually wiping out civilizations.
And let's personalize it, Kurt, because we can make it, you know, we can make it a little bit simpler. It's hard to make that distinction until you realize that what is the United States really? It is the creation of a group of individuals, a group of people like you and me. And what we could think very, very easily if tomorrow morning those of you in California or tomorrow morning those of you on the East Coast went out to your ocean and you found hordes and swarms of people coming up on your beaches armed and, you know, it was an obvious invasion. That would be much easier to distinguish. We would have no doubt that the entity, those soldiers, those troops, if you will, invading our shores were the enemy. Well, this is no different. This United States is only the Death Star, if you will, that they have, you know, that they have landed on the beaches. It is distinct from the America that we once knew and still love.
Yep.
I don't know any other way to put it, other than the United States is made up, is a creation of people, human beings like you and me, whose desire for, whose greed for, lust for, whose corruption for, and the desire and the need to conquer America is manifest in this entity called the United States. We sort of loosely use, you know, we use the term government to describe. But it's bigger than that. You're being invaded, folks. Your country is being invaded. That's what we are so up in arms about. It's what brings us to this network, because that's what's being threatened, is America. The land, its people, its customs, its history, all of the things that we've held cherished for so long. Who's the invader? Like I said, it helps to understand who the enemy is. Time to get out, I think.
Yeah, it's been a tough night. For everybody involved, I think. Okay, thanks, everybody. I appreciate the late time frame. Ralph, truly, I'm glad that we knocked this back for another hour because it turned into a pretty darn good show. I think we got a lot of information out, and I know that we're usually talking to the choir here, but as usual, I appreciate it. And everybody we need to be bringing more and more people to this.
Here's something for you. If this choir becomes your 10, all we can hope to do is for you listeners out there to crystallize this so that you can talk about it, so that you can embrace it as something that's, you know, common with a little bit, you know, with some expertise in there. You know, it's very hard to tell the uninitiated, uneducated about what's going on. Where do you start? It's a complex process. Well, the way you get there is by becoming more and more familiar and more conversant with what's actually happening. And when you can master at least the big picture of it, then it becomes a lot easier to talk about. Otherwise, you're talking about legal terms and things that, you know, are foreign to people to begin with. So, Kurt, you started off by telling 10. Each of the listeners out there, tell 10. Well, let's get started. Time is short. We got to get out. You've been listening to I Am the People with Kurt Kallenbach. Join us again next week at a regularly scheduled time. I assume we're not going to Wisconsin next week. We'll see you at 8 p.m. Central next week. In the meantime, at 6 p.m. tomorrow, my Sovereign Economist show on with Bob Chapman, my special guest, each and every week. And on Thursday at 6 p.m., the theater's on fire, and we're going to look at the liberty and freedom and illusion or reality, and we're just going to try and paint some pictures for people so we understand just how much our rights have eroded and been taking from us. Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night, everybody.
God bless. We'll be right back.